First Chronicles, chapter number 11. We are going to read from verses 22 down to verse number 25 as we look at the next in a series of mighty men of King David. First Chronicles, chapter number 11, and we're going to begin in verse number 22. It says, "And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. Also he went down and slew a lion in a pit in a snowy day. And he slew an Egyptian, a man of great stature, 5 cubits high. And in the Egyptian's hand was a spear like a weaver's beam. And he went down to him with a staff, and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand, and slew him with his own spear. These things did Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and had the name among the three mighties. Behold, he was honorable among the 30, but attained not to the first three, and David set him over his guard." Let us go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father, we want to thank you this evening for the real privilege we have to study the Word of God. Lord, we know that you do not want us just study to have head knowledge, but that we might be workers, laborers for the cause of Christ, workmen that can rightly divide the Word of truth. We might be able to use it in our everyday life and witness. And Lord, we ask tonight that you might work and bless in hearts and lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. Be honest with me tonight. How many have said to me, "Preacher, man, I have studied Benaiah. I know all about this guy, Benaiah. In fact, every time I read scriptures, I run into his name and I just get excited about Benaiah." How many are like that tonight? How many have never heard of Benaiah before? You say, I've read this. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. I've read this section, but I never really stopped to think about Benaiah. He's not one that we would say is, really out in the forefront. Somewhat obscure, but I want us to note a few things about this fellow tonight. We're first introduced to him back in 2 Samuel chapter number 8 and verse 18. It says there, "And Benaiah the son of Jehoiada was over both the Cherethites and the Pelethites. And David's sons were chief rulers." That's interesting as we look at this man. As the Bible tells us, this fellow who we would say, "Hey, I've never even heard of him before, he's kind of obscure in my mind." As we begin to put together the pieces of his life, as we look back through the scriptures, we learn a few things about this unusual character named Benaiah. We find, first of all, that he was over two groups of people, the Cherethites and the Pelethites. You say, well, who in the world were the Cherethites? The Cherethites, it is believed, were executioners or lifeguards. They were men who were specially trained to take care of different problems within the local government there in Jerusalem. The Pelethites, they were not a nationality. Matter of fact, neither one of these. Both of them were comprised mostly of foreigners, and they were employed as a personal bodyguard to King David. Kings often would choose men from other nationalities, from other countries, foreign origin, because if there was a coup, if there was a rising up amongst the people, they might be more loyal to their own people. And so they felt that those from foreign countries might even be better. And so here we find that David put this man, Benaiah, in charge of these people who are termed here the Cherethites and the Pelethites. He was very trusted because he is in charge of those who are basically those who protect the king. He was their commander. They were, in some regard, the elite special forces with one particular job in mind, and that was to make sure that King David was kept King David. Amen? Benaiah, unusual man. Many of David's early armies were made up of debtors. They were made up of those who were outcasts. They were, if you please, perhaps outlaws, but not Benaiah. Here's a man that we find, the Bible tells us through that name, or as we look at the Hebrew of it, it means he whom Jehovah builds. What's interesting that he is the son of Jehoiada. Jehoiada is a priest. And Jehoiada was a leader of the Aaronites. In other words, he was of the priestly order, not just the Levites, but those within that priestly order of Aaron. And so we find here in this man one of the priestly order who was not afraid to draw the sword, not afraid to pull that out to do its work. We go back into the early history of our country, we find that there were a lot of preachers who went into warfare. They not only went as chaplains and as those who could be of help spiritually to the men, but they also went with the idea that they were going to fight alongside of them. And thus they did. Benaiah serves David from the time before he was king throughout all of his 40 years as a king over Israel and Judah, and also into the very early days of Solomon. If there's a character trait that we could ascribe to this man Benaiah, I believe it would be loyalty. He stuck with him. He was at his side from those early days throughout all that time and all the situations. We're going to look at a few of those tonight. And even into those early days of the reign of King Solomon. Thus, you and I, as we look at him tonight, I believe we can stop and perhaps glean some things from his life. That which is loyal and one who is there at all times. Throughout all the harrowing times of David, Benaiah is at his side. From our text, we're told that he did many acts. There is selected here for us three of them. We notice that I lost my spot. Have you ever lost your spot? Verse number 22, it says he slew two lion-like men of Moab. And then it says that he went down and slew a lion in a pit in a snowy day. And then it tells us that he also slew an Egyptian, a man that says 5 cubits high. A cubit, by the way, is about 18 to 24 inches. In other words, this fellow is somewhere between 7.5 and 10 feet tall. He is a big fellow. He's a giant, if you please. And so here is this man, Benaiah, who did many, many acts. I want us to look at his loyalty tonight because I believe that we can see it in three or four different ways as we look at Scripture this evening. First of all, when we are loyal, I believe we are willing to serve in a humble place. Willing to serve in a humble place. He is heroic, but he is not as heroic as some others. He is not considered amongst those top three especially. He's a man that is certainly one who is willing to fight. But we do find that there are those who are placed above him in that. His position is honorable, but he's not like Joab, that is the leader of the army. He is in charge of, if you please, the secret service. And they don't normally get the media attention. They're overlooked. And just they go along with the king. Joab railed at the head of the army. Benaiah, he stayed near the king. By the way, remember that as we finish off tonight. I've got a question for you tonight. Are you loyal? Are you loyal in the position that God has placed you? Is it too small for your abilities? You know, sometimes we begin to think, man, I'm much bigger than this. And I can do so much greater than what I've been placed in. And I believe we need to lay aside all recognition and all reputation and just stick to the job that God has given to us. Are we loyal in our position tonight? He was willing to serve in a humble place. Loyalty also puts oneself at the command of his authority. His authority, of course, was King David. Even in the times of Absalom's revolt, we find that Joab that when Joab defected, Benaiah was still there and still doing the job. I want you to turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter number 15. 2 Samuel, if you go back a little ways, and we're going to read here just a little bit. 2 Samuel and chapter number 15. Notice with me, beginning in verse number 10. And in verse number 10, it says, "But Absalom," we remember who Absalom is, that's David's son. David has been on the throne for quite some time, and he's got a son that's looking at the same thing. He's not willing to wait. Matter of fact, David thinks much of him. David looks at him, and I believe he would have probably said, "Hey, he's going to be the next king." But he got antsy. He wanted that spot ahead of time. And Absalom sent spies to all the tribes of Israel, saying, "As soon as ye hear the sound of the trumpet, then ye shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron. And with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called, and they went in their simplicity, and they knew not anything. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor from his city, even from Gilah, while he offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom." Now stay with this. "And there came a messenger," David, "saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. And David sent all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, arise and let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us and smite the city with the edge of the sword. And the king's servants said unto the king, behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint." Now, if you drop down with me to verse number 18, notice what it says. "And all his servants passed on beside him, and all the who? Cherethites and all the Pelethites and all the Gittites, 600 men which came after him from Gath, passed on before the king." Who's in charge of these people? It is none other than Benaiah. Here's a man that even though this fellow Absalom rises up, even though the conspiracy is very strong, we find that Benaiah sticks at his side. Though it might be popular to be with Absalom, he stuck loyal to David. How important that is as we look at this man. A loyal man is one who is steadfast even when it's not popular. There's another national crisis that takes place. If you turn to chapter number 20 with me in 2 Samuel, in chapter number 20, and as we read the first two verses, we get a little idea about it. It says, "And there happened to be there a man of Belial whose name was Sheba, the son of Bichri, a Benjamite, and he blew a trumpet and said, we have no part in David, neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse, every man to his tents, O Israel. So every man of Israel went up from after David and followed Sheba the son of Bichri, but the men of Judah clave unto the king from Jordan even to Jerusalem." Notice what it says. It tells us here, they rose up to follow this man of Belial, this man named Sheba, and all of them did except for one tribe, the tribe of Judah. 11 out of the 12 tribes follow after Sheba. He is the popular one. He is the one that now that most of the nation is following after. But let's notice what it says in verse number 7. It says, "There went out after him Joab's men, and who? The Cherethites and the Pelethites and all the mighty men, and they went out of Jerusalem, so pursue after Sheba, the son of Bichri." When we read and study this, we learn something, and that is that reading on, they have victory over these forces. And all of Israel comes back to David. Who's with him? Who's with him? We find, once again, Benaiah is there at King David's side, still doing the job. Verse number 23 of the chapter, notice what it says. It says, "Now Joab was over all the host of Israel, and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, was over the Cherethites and over the Pelethites." So we see him still at the job. He is loyal, even in a time when it's not very popular. But loyalty also means that we must lay aside all of our self-interests. I misspoke myself a while ago. We're going to see something here in this particular instance. Turn with me to 1 Kings and chapter number 1. 1 Kings and chapter number 1. Just a few pages over from where you're at. David is dying. And Solomon is not showing very great strength at this point. And I want you to notice what takes place. Verse number 32. King David said, "Call me Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada." And they came before the king. What had taken place is that Solomon's brother had risen up, and he was going to become the next king. He had basically ordained himself, and we find that there was with him Joab. Joab is the general. He is the one who's commanded David's forces. And he follows after him rather than the king's choice. And we find here in verse number 32 that David calls for who? Once again, we see three men who have been at David's side. They have been loyal to him. Drop down to verse number 36 with me. Verse number 36 of chapter number 1. And notice what it says. "And Benaiah the son of Jehoiada answered the king and said, 'Amen, the Lord God of my lord the king, say so too. As the Lord hath been with my lord the king, even so be he with Solomon, and make his throne greater than the throne of my lord king David.' So Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and the Cherethites and the Pelethites went down and caused Solomon to ride upon King David's mule and brought him to Gihon." What had taken place? David had said, "I want my son Solomon to become the next king." And they followed after his orders. Remember, Joab thought, "Hey, listen, here's my chance." He went against the king, but Benaiah stays loyal to him. And oh my, what do we find? There's the rest of the story. And look with me to chapter number 2. Chapter number 1, and verse number 38. I read verse 38. Notice verse number 39. "And Zadok the priest took a horn of oil out of the tabernacle and anointed Solomon. And they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, 'God save King Solomon.' And all the people came up after him, and the people piped with pipes and rejoiced with great joy, so that the earth rent with the sound of them. And Adonijah and all the guests that were with him heard it, as they had made an end of eating. And when Joab heard the sound of the trumpet, he said, 'Wherefore is this noise of the city being in an uproar?' Adonijah and their coronation, as it's been finished up at this time, and they hear this other, and they wonder what is going on." Verse 42. "And while he yet spake, behold, Jonathan, the son of Biathar, the priest, came, and Adonijah said unto him, 'Come in, for thou art a valiant man, and bring us good tidings.' And Jonathan answered and said to Adonijah, 'Verily our lord King David hath made Solomon king, and the king hath sent with him Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and the Cherethites and the Pelethites, and they have caused him to ride upon the king's mule. And Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet have anointed him king in Gihon. And they are come up from thence rejoicing, so that the city rang again. This is the noise that ye have heard. And also Solomon sitteth on the throne of the kingdom. And moreover, the king's servants came to bless our lord King David, saying, 'God make the name of Solomon better than thy name, and make the throne greater than thy throne.' And the king bowed himself upon the bed. And also thus said the king, 'Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which hath given one to sit on my throne this day, mine eyes even seen it. And all the guests that were with Jonathan, with Adonijah, were what? Afraid. And rose up, and went every man his way. And Adonijah feared because of Solomon and arose and went and caught hold on the horns of the altar. And it was told Solomon, saying, Behold, Adonijah feareth the king Solomon, for lo, he hath caught hold on the horns of the altar, saying, Let king Solomon swear unto me today that he will not slay his servant with the sword. And Solomon said, If he will show himself a worthy man, there shall not a hair of him fall to the earth, but if wickedness shall be found in him, he shall die. And king Solomon sent, and they brought him down from the altar, and he came and bowed himself to king Solomon, and Solomon said unto him, Go to thine house. What do we find? We find these three, and if we look at Benaiah, who had been loyal to David throughout his entire life, has now placed his loyalty with King Solomon. The story does not end. Go to the next chapter with me. Notice 1 Kings in chapter number 2. And drop down with me to verse number 22. Verse number 22. King Solomon answered and said to his mother, And why dost thou ask Abishag the Shunammite for Adonijah? Ask for him the kingdom also, for he is mine elder brother. Even for him and for Abiathar the priest, and for Joab the son of Zeruiah, he names those who had what? Rebelled against David. Then King Solomon swore by the Lord, saying, God do so to me, and more also, if Adonijah have not spoken this word against his own life. Now therefore, as the Lord liveth, which hath established me and set me on the throne of David my father, and who hath made me an house, as he promised, Adonijah shall be put to death this day. And King Solomon sent by the hand of Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and he fell upon him that he died. Remember, they were executioners of the law as well. For well over 40 years, he has marched to the tune of the king. He's been loyal. He has done what he's been asked to do. The story is not finished. Go to verse 28. Notice verse 28. It says, Then tidings came to Joab, for Joab had turned after Adonijah, though he turned not after Absalom. And Joab fled into the tabernacle of the Lord and caught hold of the horns of the altar. And it was told King Solomon that Joab was fled into the tabernacle of the Lord, and behold, he is by the altar. Then Solomon sent Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, say, Go, fall upon him. And Benaiah came to the tabernacle of the Lord and said unto him, Thus saith the king, Come forth. And he said, Nay, but I will die here. And Benaiah, by the ways of the priestly tribe, is he not? He's looking in the tabernacle. What's he saying? He comes back to the king. Thus said Joab, and thus he answered me. And the king said to him, Do as he has said, and fall upon him, and bury him, that thou mayest take away the innocent blood which Joab shed from me and from the house of my father. And the Lord shall return his blood upon his own head, who fell upon two men more righteous and better than he, and slew them with the sword, my father David, not knowing thereof, to wit, Abner the son of Ner, captain of the host of Israel, and Amasa the son of Jether, captain of the host of Judah. Their blood shall therefore return upon the head of Joab, and upon the head of his seed forever, but upon David, upon his seed, and upon his throne, upon or his house, and upon his throne, shall there be peace forever from the Lord. So Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, went up and fell upon him and slew him, and he was buried in his own house in the wilderness. Story not finished. Notice verse 35. And the king put Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, in his room over the host. This man who was willing to take the humble place, this man who had been loyal throughout all of these years, is now over the army of Israel. This is during Solomon's reign. The mightiest army on the face of the earth at the time. And Benaiah has been rewarded for his loyalty. But let's notice one last thing. Drop down to verse 44. You remember when David left Jerusalem, when his son Absalom rose up against him? There was a man on the hillside that cursed David and threw dirt at him. Now we pick up the story later. Verse 44. The king said, moreover, to Shimei, that's the man's name, thou knowest all the wickedness which was in thine heart, which thine heart is privy to, that thou didst to David my father. Therefore the Lord shall return thy wickedness upon thine own head. And King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever. So the king commanded Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, which went out and fell upon him, that he died. And the kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon. God used this man of loyalty to bring about not only the protection of his king David, but to establish the throne of his son, who became perhaps the greatest of all kings, and certainly one of the wisest man who ever lived. I ask four very simple questions tonight as we look back at these things that show us of his loyalty. Are you willing to serve in a humble place? Are you willing to serve where you may not get recognition, or folks might not even know that you're doing it? Will you put yourself at the command of your authority, those whom God places over you? Will you allow them to tell you the direction to go? Will you serve amidst unpopularity? Will you serve, let me put it this way, amidst the criticisms of brethren and foe alike? Will you serve amidst all of that? Will you lay aside self-interest? Joab was a mighty warrior, however, not listed in the mighties of 1 Chronicles 11. The general of the army, not listed. We saw that last week. What was his problem? I believe he had some self-interest. But we find this man, Benaiah, was willing to deny himself of those that he might follow the desires of his commander. And so with that thought, are you willing to lay aside all self-interest to fulfill the desires of our great commander, the Lord Jesus Christ? Benaiah, he was loyal. He kept at it. He stuck to the job. There were very difficult days. He was with David when Saul was seeking him to take his life. He was with David throughout all those years. He was trusted by David. David could always count upon him. He was one of three men at the very end that he could call upon and ask him to help him to establish his son upon the throne. Are you Benaiah? Loyal? Father, tonight I pray you work in hearts. Lord, in a day when self-interest seems to be far more important than loyalty to you, Lord, in a day when we honestly just laugh at folks who have loyalty, oh God, forgive us of that. I pray that you might implant into us this kind of nature, loyal to you, to those that you have placed us with and under. Oh God, I pray that you'd be glorified through the life of those who are loyal as Christians. God, work in our hearts tonight. There's a need amongst us. I pray this in Jesus' name.